Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 6. I guess this must be the Brahma Samhita tune, is it? What's that? Satat karasparsha dutta kilas shubha. Sapat ya bivyakta paratma darshanaha. Tat pada padma ridi nirito dadao. Rishat tanu kilna rid ashu lochana. Satat kara sparsha duta kilat shubha. Sapatya bi vyakta paratma darshana. Tat pada padmam ridi nirvito dadao. Rishat tanu kilna yat rid ashu lochana. Dhamma. Sapatya vyakta paravatma darshana. Tat pada padma ridi nirito dado. Vishatanud kilna rid ashud lochana. Sa he. Prahlad Maharaj. Tatkara sparsha. Because of being touched by the head by the lotus hand of Nrisimhadev. Duta, being cleansed. Akila, all. Ashubha, inauspiciousness or material desires. Sapati, immediately. Abhivyakta, manifested. Paraatma darshanaha, realization of the Supreme Soul. Spiritual knowledge. Tat pada padmam. Lord Nrisimhadev's lotus feet. Ridi, the core of the heart. Nirvrita, full of transcendental bliss. Tadao, captured. Rishat tanu, having transcendental ecstatic bliss manifested in the body. Kilnana rit. Kilna krit. Whose heart was situated, was softened due to transcendental ecstasy. Ashulochana, with tears in his eyes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By the touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva's hand on Prahlad Maharaja's head, Prahlad was completely freed from all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendently situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, thus he was able to properly capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Can you get some water? Purport, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 14:26. Mamachayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down to any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi partha vyapashitya yepi supapayonaya striyo vaishas tata sudras tepi antipuram gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of a lower birth, women, vaishas, merchants, as well as shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. On the strength of these verses from the Bhagavad Gita, is evident that although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, and although virtually demoniac blood flowed within his body, he was cleansed of all material bodily contamination because of his exalted position as a devotee. In other words, such impediments on the spiritual path could not stop him from progressing, for he was directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are physically and mentally contaminated by atheism cannot be situated on the transcendental platform. But as soon as one is freed from material contamination, he is immediately fit to be situated in devotional service. Tat-sa-tat-kara sparsha duta kila shubha sapatya bivyakta paratma darshana Tatpada padmam ridi nirito dadao rishat tanu kilna rid ashulochana. By the touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva's hand on Prahlad Maharaja's head, Prahlad was completely freed from all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendently situated. And all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Patskyatyade Satarane. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, is a special personality because although his father was Hiranyakashipu, at the time of conception, a Prahlad was thinking of Vishnu. So it wasn't ordinary birth. I don't know how many of our parents were thinking of Vishnu at the time of conception. On the other hand, although he was put into association with demons, he had, his original association was with Narada Muni. Within the womb of his mother also got the association of living in an ashram. Even before Prahlad Maharaj was born, he was born into an ashram. Is anyone here, parents were living in an ashram when they were born? And he had heard Bhagavatam every day. At least once a day, if not, we don't even know how long. It's not that there was a whole lot of things to do in the ashram, I don't think. So Narada Muni spent some time with his mother speaking the Bhagavatam. And therefore, although he was born in a demoniac family, he was not at all affected by his demoniac association. On the other hand, those were actually, as Prabhupada writes, yesham antikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanva moha nirmukva bhajante mam dridavrataha. That those who have passed their lives practicing religious principles, whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated, are free from the dualities of delusion, and thus they engage themselves with my service with determination. There are four kinds of people who never take to Krishna consciousness. As Krishna had said in the Bhagavad Gita, mam diskritino muda, namely those who are foolish, those who are sinful, those who are deceitful, and those who are atheistic. Unfortunately, in modern society, people are trained up to be foolish, sinful, deceitful, and atheistic. And therefore, it's difficult for people to appreciate the value of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, those who practice piety, or the principles of religion, and there are four principles of religion, namely mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, and austerity. But how many people are practicing mercy, truthfulness, austerity, and cleanliness? Is there any place where they're trained like that? And the opposite of that is illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. This is what people live for. As Prabhupada writes, when his godbrother went to England, he met with the Marquis of Jutland, who was formerly the governor of Bengal. And as the governor of Bengal, he was actually coming and visiting. Even he visited Srila Prabhupada's school. And he gave a talk there, and it was a big thing. The governor of Bengal comes to your school. I think Bengal probably has, I don't know what how many people at that time, but it has probably more people than Yugoslavia had. Of course, in the Western world, people don't count them as people, so you can have 60 million Indians, but they only count as around 300 or 400 Westerners. In any case, there was quite a bit of Indian of people living in Bengal at that time. And the Marquis of Jutland came and visited. And by his being a governor, he actually developed some attraction for the Vedic culture. So when Prabhupada's godbrother went and visited him, well, actually he visited England, the Marquis of Jutland was a supporter. And he came and said, "My dear sir, can you make me into a Brahmin?" That is Prabhupada's godbrother. He asked, "Can you make me into a Brahmin?" And he said, no problem at all. I can easily make you into Brahmin. You just have to follow these four principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication. And he said, impossible. Prabhupada remarked, such a gentleman, a learned gentleman, and for him it was impossible to follow the basic principles of religion. So what to speak of ordinary people? They, at first, they can't even make the first step towards civilized life. But even if one is following the principles of religion, then one has to act piously. In this age, there is no piety. There's no religion. There's only economic development for sense gratification. People don't know there's no vanashram. There is no practice of religiosity. Even in the churches, people don't follow religious principles. They even have nowadays in America official churches of the devil. They get tax exemption also. Devil worshippers. Therefore, was there any question of understanding Trividam Narakasyedam Dwaram Nashitam Atmanaha Kama Krota Tatalo Vastasmat Etam Trayam Chajet? That there are three gates leading to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give them up because they lead to degradation of the soul. But people don't know that there's a soul. So how could, what's in the question of becoming degraded? They think their mind is the soul. And to serve the soul is to serve their mind. Anyone who So anyone who performs, who gives up these three gates to hell, performs acts which are conducive to self-realization, and thus he attains the transcendental destination, who gradually makes progress towards the transcendental destination. So people don't want to give up these, they don't know they're supposed to give up these three things, or four gates, the three gates to hell. And therefore, they always remain bewildered. And what is that bewilderment? They think they're their body. Anyone who thinks they're their body must be bewildered. So all of us are bewildered, but at least we're making progress, or trying to make progress, towards getting out of the bewilderment. Because as long as one identifies oneself with the body, then one must be very fearful. If I think something's going to happen to my body, but of course, there's no question of something happening to our body. It's already happening. Time is changing our body. We're on the path towards death, of the body at least, and we don't know where we're going next. So bhayam dvija bhine dvayam dvitija bhine vesitasyat. We must be fearful. People cover it with intoxication, or other things, in order to forget about their fearfulness. But still, they're fearful. Therefore, the normal process to follow religious principles and act piously, do something positive. But the only piety in this age is to chant Hare Krishna, practically speaking. Without chanting Hare Krishna, there's no question of piety. And if there's no piety, I was reading the other day, as I mentioned in Charaka Samhita, then if the leaders are not pious, if the citizens are not pious, then there'll be pestilence, because the water will be polluted, the air will be polluted, the ether will be polluted, everything will be polluted, people's minds will be polluted, and the result will be pestilence. People's immunity will go down, and they'll become subjected to all kinds of miseries and disease. People don't see any connection between what they're doing and their problems that they're facing. There's a disconnect. They think that the problem was released from some lab in China, but actually the problem is being released from their heart by their sinful activities. They're creating the problems. That if everyone's heart was cleansed, then their activities would be cleansed, and if their activities are cleansed, they wouldn't need this ugra karma, this which is polluting the atmosphere, the air, the water, the food, the earth. And therefore, the amount of disease would go down. The amount of physical, mental problems would go down. But the only way people are going to be able to do that is to be introduced to the fact that there are eternal souls and their real happiness is obtained in spiritual life. So Prahlad was introduced to that even within the womb of his mother, and therefore he was a perfectly eligible devotee to get the full mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. And because of the full mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev, because of contact with him and personal associate with him, to always be in ecstasy. And anyone who's always in ecstasy will not become influenced by the material nature. Material nature can only lure one that is promising happiness, but if one is actually experiencing happiness, then where is there any question of becoming a lord by some kind of inferior happiness? Just like we were serving sweet rice with sand. Now, if you're really hungry, you might line up for it. But if there was two lines, one for sweet rice with sand and one for sweet rice with sugar, with gore in it, hopefully the line with the sugar in it with the gore will be larger than the one with the sand. Similarly, one can experience Visharava Nivartante Niraharasi Dehinam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one remains fixed in consciousness. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to introduce people to a superior consciousness, a better way of life, that they actually get more happiness. They get less distress, more happiness, healthier, more peaceful, more expert at interrelationships with the family, with others, introducing civilized life so people can actually get a higher taste and eventually become Krishna conscious. On the other hand, if we don't introduce Krishna consciousness, it's not that the world won't go on. The world will go on continuously introducing lower and lower tastes for people to try to enjoy. As their modes of material nature becomes deeper and deeper and deeper into ignorance, so people's consciousness will become more attracted and attracted and attracted to lower and lower things. And that's what Kali Yuga means. But Kali Yuga can be contracted or counteracted by the introduction of the Hare Krishna movement into people's lives. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Although it appears we're a small group of people on the outside living in a little tiny house doing nothing, practically speaking. Not doing anything productive from the materialistic point of view. But actually this little tiny house and the people in it are the only hope for the society. At least, if we can't see it's the only hope for society, we should see it's our only hope. Otherwise, if we join the rest of society in what they're doing, struggling to get a little money so they can eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and then they think their lives is successful by doing that, and that spiritual life is simply a dream. Or men for some monks living in some secluded place. who don't eat or sleep, they just try to breathe. Then people will not get the opportunity that of making that, even their house, their home, peaceful, happy, finding out even the people they're living in. They're living in a family, but they don't know who they are, and they don't even know who everyone else in the family is. They're thinking they're gross, some gross and subtle bodies. They don't even know that this is, they're living with spiritual beings. And on the gross and subtle platform, they're just competing with each other to exploit each other to the maximum possible. But if they become Krishna conscious, instead of exploiting each other, they'll actually be happy to serve each other in pure consciousness. And therefore their lives, in every respect, their family life, their community life, their social life, their national life, everything will become complete and satisfying. Otherwise, there's no other possibility of becoming successful in life other than becoming conscious of Krishna or making progress in becoming conscious of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you. It's mentioned that Narada Muni was in contact with Narada Muni and he listening to Srimad Bhagavatam in the bomb. But this is also true for his mother. How come that she hadn't become exalted as Plat?
Well, you know what the answer is. What's the answer?
No, that's why I'm asking.
Why are you asking? What does it say in the Bhagavatam?
Many things.
Well, give me one thing. Let's read the Bhagavatam. It says in the Bhagavatam, didn't it say someone, didn't we already read that? That we read that in the Bhagavatam. Her name was Kayadu. What was her name?
Kayadu.
What was that?
Yes,
Kayadu.
What? Well, it said she wasn't paying attention. She was still worried about her husband being away, she was waiting for him to come back. And being a woman also, she didn't take it so seriously, the instructions. I mean, she didn't voluntarily go to the ashram. She didn't think, let me go to Narayana Muni's ashram and become Krishna conscious. She was put there because Narayana Muni saved her from the demigods. So she wasn't by nature so interested in spiritual life.
Thank you. And regarding the statement in the commentary that although virtually demoniac blood flowed within his body,
Prispodoma. Analogy.
Huh? Metaphor. Is this metaphoric statement or?
No, I mean, you get your body from parents, and according to the mentality of the parents, you get a certain mode of nature. Included within those modes are the blood that's flowing. Everything about your body is in a certain mode, including the blood within it. Obviously, if your parents eat all kinds of nonsense things, which turn to blood, your blood's not going to be completely pure.
So, connected with this question is when there is a transplant of organs, is this karmic, this has some karmic consequences? If you get, for example, the devotee get a new heart or a new liver or new whatever is there from a person who is not devotee or in tamang, what is any consequences of that? Or blood transfer?
Is there any consequence? There's a consequence of everything we do. Anyway, you walk into any room, you breathe the air, there's a consequence. What to speak of putting something else in your body? eat the wrong carrot, you'll see what the consequences are. So what to speak of putting an organ in your body.
So it affects...
Everything affects us. What doesn't affect us?
I mean spiritually.
Well, that depends on your consciousness and the level of spiritual advancement. If you get something done to you, if something happens and you stop chanting Hare Krishna, then you're in trouble. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you keep on chanting Hare Krishna, then the soul make progress in any circumstance.
Thank you. So another statement here in the those who are physically and mentally contaminated by atheism, is this connected similar as you mentioned with the lower modes or?
Well, we work with, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, we work with our body, with our intelligence and mind. So if you have an atheistic mentality, if you give up the revealed scriptures and you act whimsically, you can obtain neither peace nor happiness nor the supreme destination. You're going to act sinfully. And therefore you're going to get the reactions for your sinful activities immediately and in the future. Thus is never satisfied and burns like fire and covers the consciousness. So you get all that experience in the different modes of nature. So atheism means you're not going to follow Krishna's directions. You may even think you're going to oppose him.
So physically affected atheism means that you act atheistically, also with physical...
Well, anyone who does something which is not in Krishna consciousness, they'll have to get the reactions for it. As it says, we work first with our intelligence and mind. So if our intelligence and mind are situated in the modes of ignorance and passion, then our activities will be in the modes of ignorance and passion. We'll get the reactions for it. Why do people drink alcohol, eat meat, and have illicit sex, and speculate and gamble? Because their consciousness is in that platform.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.